So I'd like to say a few words about our day together and about this time of year. This is our winter solstice retreat that we always do. And this year, you know, as we are in the physical darkness of the winter, we've also been in a lot of darkness in our country, or in our city, in our country, and around the world, dealing with this pandemic. Very deep, troubling, fearful times. So we have that added piece informing how we work today. This time of year, with the darkness that then moves us into the light, can really teach us a lot. There are qualities to this time of year that are extremely helpful for our practice. So I'll just name them, and then I'll say a wee bit about each one and a few readings as I go. So the first quality is that at this time of year, the world, the earth in particular, gets very still. And there's a bit of a hush, there's a silence that descends on the earth as all the plants go dormant and the animals hibernate. So we have the silence and the stillness informing us. Darkness also has connotations around pain, fear, difficulty, which we'll look at. With the stillness and the silence, we can pay deeper attention and come into some wonder and mystery. And it's no mistake that there are so many traditions that embrace that. And when we do all this, get still, deal with the darkness, notice there's beauty and wonder, even in the darkness, we start to appreciate some new life, the growth, because all growth happens in the dark. And from this, there's an illumination. There's a movement into joy, into grace and the sacred. So lots of beautiful qualities that this time of year can teach us and that we can draw upon. So with the first quality that I named, the stillness and the silence, Wendell Berry, in his poem, The Silence, he said, "It is in the silence that my hope is and my aim, a song whose lines I cannot make or sing." The silence brings stillness. And with the stillness, there can come some movement. And I'll come to that, I think, in a wee bit. So what about how this time of year, with the darkness and the added piece of COVID, the dark darkness, the unpleasant darkness that is so prevalent. This is a great challenge. And of course, when we get still and silent, we can start to really pay attention to those places within us that may feel like places of exile, of disorientation, of fear, those places of trouble, contention, conflict. And we can open to those pains. We have our rain practice that is a huge helpful. And when we add the G in front of the rain, we have the grain. So we have all of that to really help us open and pay attention to our pain and make some discoveries. And we can discover that our pain and our darkness is often not what we thought it was, what we thought with our noodle. With the whole being, it becomes something else. So here is a bit from Cahil Gibran. It's in an archaic language, so just enjoy it. And a woman asked, "Speak to us of joy and sorrow." And he answered, "Your joy is your sorrow unmasked. And the self-same well from which your laughter rises was oftentimes filled with your tears. And how else can it be? The deeper that sorrow carves into your being, the more joy you can contain. Is not the cup that held your wine the very cup that was burned in the potter's oven?" And it goes on, and I'll probably read more of that later. So when we do deepen our attention and we let our pain, our darkness speak, there can be an opening. And we might not be at joy, but we might be at a place of, don't know. Hey, there's a smart place to be, an intelligent place to be. Maybe it's not what I thought it was. So we're stepping into some wonder and mystery. And wisdom traditions are rife with wonder and mystery at this time of year to remind us. And of course, with children really emphasized at this season, because they hold that for us, don't they? They know wonder. They know mystery. They really believe. I always like to think, when I think about that thought, I'm always reminded of that turn of the 20th century letter to, I think it was the New York Times, maybe it was somewhere else, but it was in the States. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. And if you've never read that letter, it is very beautiful. Of course, my name's Virginia, in case you didn't know. And so the editor, really affirmed the spirit and the magic and the generosity of heart that is embodied by that mythic figure. And I still believe in Santa Claus. I do believe. And it is a gift that in some cultures give to children, and yet can we give that gift to ourselves, that gift of magic and mystery in however, or the wonder and mystery of the Hanukkah candles, where the oil was only supposed to last for one day and it lasted for eight. And so there's the growing light day after day, and we're right in the midst of Hanukkah as well. And of course, other traditions have these pointings to wonder and mystery, and of course, light. Yeah, light. And there's this knowing that when we pay attention in the dark, to the dark, that something happens. Rilke's a master of explorations of the dark and its gifts. And I'll send these things to you later. "I love the dark hours of my being. My mind deepens into them. There I can find, as in old letters, the days of my life already lived and held like a legend and understood. Then the knowing comes. I can open to another life that's wide and timeless." And so we have, with the darkness, we have the fertility, the growth, the regeneration that can happen for us. And as I mentioned earlier, things grow in the dark. The baby is in the womb, in the dark, conceived in the dark. The seed grows in the earth, in the dark. We rejuvenate our bodies every night in sleep. The stars show, the moon shows because of the darkness. They're still there in the daytime. We can't see them. It's the darkness that illuminates them. And these times are such a challenge to this. You know, these are nice, pretty words. And it does take a bit of faith, a bit of trust over time to know that the darkness within our lives, inner lives and outer lives, can burst into light and joy. It takes a bit of faith. It takes a bit of wisdom. It takes kind of our wise grandmother, grandfather within to go, there, dear. It'll be okay. And what's difficult, we'll get through. Many people have found silver linings in this time of COVID, of lockdown, of isolation. And I want to plant that seed for you to be kind of not thinking about, but letting it grow over the day. Just let it germinate and grow within. Silver linings. What good things have come out of this period? It's like we've been on one very long retreat. And we're going into the winter and it's like we're all on retreat. And maybe you had always thought, I'd love to go on a long retreat. Well, here you go. You got one. Roka says, one moment your life is a stone in you, and the next a star. One moment your life is a stone in you, and the next a star. Helpful reminding. And T.S. Eliot, so the darkness shall be the light, and the stillness the dancing. Wonderful paradoxes that we can open to at this time. And last but not least, this time of year can really bring us into the sacred, to a sense of reverence for the beauty and the mystery of this life. There's this essay I came across that has numerous quotes by Rolka again on this. So Rolka's the star of this retreat, and I'm going to just read some of these to finish. So the author says, Rolka explores the value of sadness, and you can insert fear or whatever in there. The value of sadness, darkness, as a clarifying force for our own interior lives. And quoting Rolka now. Consider whether these great sadnesses have not rather gone right through the center of yourself to see further than our knowledge reaches, and yet a little way beyond the outworks of our divining. Perhaps we would endure our sadnesses with greater confidence than our joys, for they are the moments when something new has entered into us, something unknown. Our feelings grow mute in shy perplexity. Everything in us withdraws. A stillness comes, and the new, which no one knows, stands in the midst of it and is silent. And he goes on, we stand in the middle of a transition, don't we though? We could easily be made to believe that nothing has happened, or perhaps nothing good has happened, and yet we have been changed as a house changes into something which a guest has entered. And so that makes me always remember Rumi and the guest house as well. Lots of different guests we've all been having these past many months, these challenging times. And so can we just remember, as Hafiz said, now is the time to know that all you do is sacred. So let's try to go into this day with some of this encouragement from the qualities of the darkness.